Por favor, Mr. President. Mr. President.
Yeah.
For Shabbos.
Yeah.
You're a lucky guy.
No, we are lucky.
I said you're a lucky guy.
Yes, you're a lucky guy. I don't know how you got about this.
From this one?
That is from his mother, doesn't it?
No,
that's from her.
Mother doesn't like it, but
how's he dead?
With your permission. Happened to be the Shabbat is where Shabbat Chanukah. And of course, that every Shabbat, when we read the Torah, has some connection to the things that's going to happen during the week. So B'zat Hashem will see a connection not only to this Shabbat, but also as well for next Shabbat. This year we have two Shabbat Chanukah. The first one is this coming Shabbat, and the next one is Parashat Miket. But first, with your permission, I'd like to start Parashat Vayeshev. It's very seldom Parashat Vayeshev falls on Chanukah. Usually it's only Parashat Miket. She says the Torah, Vayeshev Yaakov Be'eretz Megurei Aviv Be'eretz Kanaan. Comes the Gemara on that statement and has few explanations as well as few excuses. Comes the Gemara and says, you know, that Lesik Parasha, the last chapter of Lesik Parasha, the Torah talks about Esav and his descendants. The Gemara said you should know that all the people that Esav had, all his children, grandchildren, all mamzerim, all got born from married wife that did sins with other men. So everybody is mamzer. Comes the Gemara, Kachachamim tell us you should know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu decided to put in the Torah just one chapter for them. This is chapter 36. From chapter 37 until chapter, I think, 50, that's the last chapter on Sefer Bereshit, yeah, 50, it's going to talk about Yaakov and his descendants. So you would might ask, how come Esav HaKadosh Baruch Hu designated for him only one chapter, and for Yaakov HaKadosh Baruch Hu designated 13 chapters, maybe 14 chapters? And the answer is going to be very simple. You know, HaKadosh Baruch Hu loves Yaakov and he hates Esav. So again, if you wanted to ask a question, how come we read about last week in the lesson for Parashah, we read about Esav descendants, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu just made it in a very short version, and now we're going to start learning about Yaakov and his children and sending Yosef and back and forth in Egypt, and you can ask, how come the story is here so long and about Esav is so short? And the answer is, you know why? Because Hashem loves Yaakov and he hates Esav. So the first question is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not owe anybody any excuse the way he wrote the Torah. And the second question is, it's obvious. The old Mamzerim, the Gemara says, all Esav descendants are Mamzerim, they're all bad people, so what do you have to know about Al-Kapot? Who cares about them? If I would have written the Torah, I would have written it all together. Who has to know all these things? If you remember the last chapter of Lesek Parashah, it's all the Alephim, all these people, all these children and grandchildren, and what they did and what they didn't do, what they killed them. Who cares about them? I don't want to know about them. So that's the Summa HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to know. I don't know yet why. But that's the Summa HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to know. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to know in details and details and details about them. I don't want to hear about them. Comes the Gemara says, look, they said, you should know. HaKadosh Baruch Hu just decided to give them one chapter, and from now on we're going to talk only about Yaakov, because Hashem loves Yaakov. The second thing comes to Gemara and says a statement like this. That every time it says the word Vayeshev, usually in the Tanakh, afterwards, immediately, there is a tragedy. It's not a good word to start and to so-called to describe the situation. For example, the Gemara brings a sentence in Parashat Balak, Vayeshev Yisrael Bashitim, some Israel dwell in the place Shitim, and then started the epidemic. A few examples in the Tanakh, the word Vayeshev, if somebody dwells in some place, it's not. It says, if you remember Parashat Toldot, Vayeshev Yitzchak Bigrah, Vayeshalom Shem Akum Yishto, Yitzchak dwelt in Gran, and the people in Gran bothered him. So Vayeshev Yaakov, it means it's not a good statement to know that Yaakov dwells. What's so not good about it? So the Gemara, Vayeshev means that Yaakov decided to have early retirement. The man is 180 years old, survived so-called Esav and Laban, got back to his father's house, Yitzchak Avinu, and now he wants to live next to Yitzchak Avinu and he wants to take it easy. That's called Vayeshev Yaakov. The Gemara, what do you mean? Vayeshev, you tell me Vayeshev Yaakov? Vayeshev Yaakov means that he wants to take it easy. Comes the Gemara and says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, you don't understand. It says, your retirement is only in Olam Haba. In this world is a job. You cannot just take it easy. You cannot, so I'm retired already, I'm moving to Bokor at home. No. So Yaakov decided to do it. Kafat Allah Bukdoshin Yosef says the Gemara, that so-called is going to have all these problems that we're going to have now. The brother is going to tell Yosef, it says, Kafat, not because the hatred of the brothers to Yosef, just because Yaakov decided, what we call America, to take it easy. I said, what is the problem? What's the problem? Take it easy. What's the problem? What do you think, Yaakov? Take it easy. He wanted to go play golf. That's why he doesn't know how to play golf. So, he just wants to stay next to his father. Talk to his father. Respect his father. So the Gemara says, when Yaakov was on the way back from Laban's house, he said, well, Esav is coming, and I'm afraid to meet him because Esav had the zechut, the merit that he was living in Eretz Israel while he was respecting my father, something that I did not do. That I have stayed in Laban's house for 20 years, and now on the way another 2 years, I didn't dwell in Israel, and I did not respect my father. So he wants to do it. What do you think he wants to do? I said, no. No. It's not enough. He said, because you decided to take it easy, says the Gemara, jumped on him, so-called the anger, or the difficult time that he had with Yosef is because Vayeshev Yaakov. This is what is the problem exactly that he wants to take it easy. What's the problem? It comes and Amara says another statement. I says, by the way, all those Esav descendants are being compared so-called to lowlife. So if you want to translate it to a story, he says the Gemara, I'll tell you what the story is. The story is that somebody was walking on the street and he happened to meet a lot of dogs. And the dogs bark at him. And he's running away from the dogs. And they're running after him. Then he decided he wants to dwell around the dogs. And he goes sit over there, and then the dogs leave him alone. Says the Gemara, you should know Yaakov Avinu was running away from himself. And all those so-called enemies are running after him, they try to do bad things to him. And eventually, Vayeshev Yaakov decided he wants to sit down, so-called among those people. Of course, it's not among those people, because they moved out of Eretz Israel, and he's Israel, but this is what the Torah wants to tell you. Vayeshev Yaakov, it means Yaakov is settling down among the people that, so-called, we learn about them, all those mamzerim, all those bad people that we learned last week. Again, I don't know what this means on the surface. Yaakov dwells among them. It's like dogs chasing a person, and the person is running away, and in the end he wants to go and dwell among the dogs. First they're chasing, then he wants to dwell. Elet, the second sentence, we give permission. Elet, Pasuk Bet, the sentence, the Lut Yaakov, Yosef Mishvayat HaShneh, Roet HaRamatzon. So the explanation of the sentence, the Gemara says what it means is that Yosef went to his father and he said, my brothers don't behave properly. When they slaughter an animal, they take a part of the animal and they eat it before the animal is completely dead. That says they go too much shopping and look at the girls. And also the Kohen names to the other brothers are slaves. So this Torah, you know, just the opposite maybe what Yaakov should have done when Yosef told him these bad things about the brothers. This is not what Yosef is, what do you have to tell your father about it? What's your business exactly? Why do you interfere? You're young, you're almost the youngest brother. Why do you have to go to your father and tell him that? What's the purpose? Just because, but what do you want to accomplish? Anyway, Torah says that the Israel Yaakov is Israel, he loves Yosef. This guy Yosef is so-called the youngest, or next to the youngest. Of course, we know Binyamin is the youngest. Yaakov loves Yosef. Comes the Gemara and says that the truth of the matter is why Yaakov loves Yosef so much is for a few reasons. That is reason number one, that he looks like him. He looks like him. So this is something, you know, that the son looks like his father. So the Torah tells you, no, he loves him. Just with all the respect, of course the Gemara has some kind of complaint about Yaakov that he's making him a special garment to Yosef, but just common sense, it's wrong. Somebody has 12 children, and he says, you know what, I love this guy, he looks like me. Talking about Yaakov Avinu, we're not talking on a regular person. Yaakov Avinu doesn't make sense. He's going to love Yosef because he looks like you. Here comes the Gemara and says another statement. I says, Yaakov Avinu spent a long time in the yeshiva of Shem Ba'ever. Then after Shem Ba'ever, he stayed with Ever, and he learned a lot of things. So he decided he's going to transfer all his knowledge to Yosef. He used to call Yosef, and he told him, he says, I'm going to teach you all the things that I know, that I learned in the Yeshiva of Shem Ba'ever, that they learned from Noah, and then Noah learned from Hanoch, and Hanoch from Adam HaRishon, all the secrets. All the secrets about creation, about the future, everything. He is the student of Yaakov Avinu. That's the explanation of the sentence. Israel, obviously, from the Kibbutz Mimulo, it says he teaches him, it says he's very smart, Yosef, he teaches him. So with all the respect, we're not talking the other 11 children of Yaakov are ADD. This is all very smart. Some of them are at least as smart as Yosef. Issachar for sure is as smart as Yosef. Maybe even Yehuda, maybe Levi also. But Yaakov decided he wants to teach only Yosef. He doesn't teach them. This is because the Chachamim said it. After the lesson that Yosef learns with the Yaakov, he goes outside, he calls the brother, says, come, sit down, let me tell you what I learned. I says, Yaakov, what is the problem? What's the problem? It's a big tent. You want to teach it, you call all the children. You sit at the table, all the children, and you teach them. So he doesn't want to teach them. He teaches only Yosef. And that's why he says, he loves Yosef, because he is going to teach him all the things that he knows, what he learned, he wants to transfer to Yosef. He said, what is the problem? Why don't you want to teach the rest? He doesn't. So says the Torah that since the brother saw that Yaakov loves Yosef more than he loves them, then they hate Yosef. Hate Yosef? Why do you have to hate Yosef? Why do you have to hate him? So it's a problem. It's a problem with Yaakov, not with Yosef. I said, Yosef did not do anything wrong. I said, Yaakov loves Yosef. So that's why you hate Yosef. Why you hate Yosef? That's his fault. Father wants to teach him. So he's supposed to talk to the father. He's supposed to hate your father. It's not that he didn't do anything wrong. Torah doesn't say they hate Yosef because Yosef went and he told his father something about him. Torah says, because they saw that Yaakov loves him more. So Yaakov loves him more, you have to hate Yaakov, not Yosef. Yosef is not in fault. The Lord Shalom says the Gemara that Yosef goes on the street to them. Got in the street with them, and Yosef says, hello. They don't answer him. They ignore him. I said, why can't you say hello? Why can't you say hello to him? How much can you hate your brother by not answering hello? What did he do to you? He didn't do anything to you. So don't say hello to him. לא עושה על עוד שאם בתורת ישראל חלום יוסף חלום יגיד לך וטיב עושנו אותו. תשמעי זה תורה הזה. Listen, Yosef has a dream, he's going to tell his brother. ויאמר עליהם שמונה חלום הזה שחלמתי, this is a dream I had. והלכנו מאמים על מים בתוך השדה, והנה על סם הלומתי וגם ניצא בה, והנה את הסבן הלומתיכם את השכן הלומתי. So we were in the field, and we make stalks of wheat, and my stalk stands up, and your stalks bow down to my stalk. So what he refers to, the so-called that he is the boss, that he is the king, and they are going to bow down to him. So of course that's the last thing a person should do to someone who doesn't even say hello to him or somebody hates him. And so somebody doesn't say hello to you and he hates you, you don't go over to him and say, listen, I had a dream about you, that you bow down to me. So what do you expect? You expect the guy to listen to you? He's gonna laugh at you. I don't respect you. I don't consider you. For me, you're nobody. You say hello, I don't answer you. And then you approach me and you tell me that you are the dream that I bow down to you. What does he think, Yosef? What does he think? That if he's going to tell them that he had a dream first, I don't know if they would believe him if they had a dream. I wouldn't believe him if somebody, you know, that I really don't consider him and I don't respect him and I don't like him. And I don't say hello to him, he comes over to me and says to me, listen, I had a dream that you bow down to me. You know what I say? They're far slimmer. I say, you need to see a psychiatrist. I have nothing to do with you. I don't want to hear from you. So what's the purpose? What does he think? He thinks that they didn't listen. And they answer him, he says, you think it'll be our king? So of course, what do you have to answer? What do you have to answer? You say, ignore him. You don't say hello to him. He comes to you and tells you this man a dream. So just keep walking. He says, no, they tell him, what do you think? That dream that you had means that you're going to be our ruler, our king. He says, why do you have to answer? Yeah, that's what it means, yeah. So they say, what do you think? Yeah, that's what he thinks. But so, I thought I was going to tell you the dialogue between them. Who cares about the dialogue? What he said to them, what they said to him, it's irrelevant. He says, he has another dream. He says, he has another dream. He had another dream. In the dream, he saw the sun and the moon and the 10 stars bow down to him. So he goes and he tells it to his brother. So what do you want to accomplish? What do you really want to accomplish that you tell your brothers? You think your brothers will believe, they will get any influence, they're going to trust you? They made a joke out of the first dream. So you can have another dream. Then they said, now the sun and the moon and the stars, they bow down to me. So what do you expect them to say? Oh, okay, I'm going to bow down to you. Of course they won't bow down to you. What is the difference between the first and the second one? They can have another one, doesn't matter, they can have 20 dreams. So what do you think you can convince them? For what are you telling them that? And Zohar said, he made a big mistake, Zohar said, you should never told them. Because they made a joke out of it, therefore the whole thing was delayed. If he would not have told them that, nothing would have happened. And so they're going to tell him because of the dream. And then Zohar will tell you later. And that he comes close to them, they said, he is the dreamer. The dreamer is here, Mr. Dreamer is here. And then they're going to try to kill him and everything because of the dream. You should not have done this. As Zohar said, if you have a good dream, you should never tell it to someone that doesn't like you 100%. Because if he'll hear the dream and he's going to make a joke out of you, the dream might be delayed for the interpretation for 22 years. That's what happened here. That Yosef is 17, and at the end, he became a king and he was 30, but he couldn't see Yaakov. So 22 years Yaakov did not see him. I said, but at least 13 years already passed since the dream was, and he was already at the time ready to become a king. And because then he told to the brothers, and they don't like him, so my talking was delayed. I said, what is really behind it that he is trying to tell them, and what does he think he's going to convince them? So he goes against his father and his brothers. Yaakov tells him, it's impossible, I don't believe it, it's a dream, because he refers, so the Shemesh means the sun is Yaakov, and Yareach means Rachel. He says, Rachel, how can it be Rachel? Rachel died. It's impossible, something's wrong with your dream, he tells him. But he only tells him outside. He says, Yaakov, he believes in the dream. He says, I would like to see that Yosef is going to be the king. Not he wants to see it when we're king, he wants to see so-called that he is going to write down to Yosef. He's waiting for that. So inside, he thinks the dream is true, and he's supposed to bow down to his son Yosef. It's very strange, very strange.
Why were there only 10 stars?
10 what? 11. 11 stars.
Well, 11 stars.
I said 11, no. 11. Where 11? וילכו אחד לעוד את הנביא משכם, so the brothers of Torah says went to go together with the sheep. ויום נתן יוסף, והלכים אחרים משכם לך ושכחה עליהם ולא ינני, יעקב קוסן יוסף, and then go see what the brothers doing, ואם אני הולך לראות שלו ואחר, ושלמתם go see the brothers and the sheep. ואשימני לבר אצלכם, הם יתרמו לבר שכם, I send him over there from Hebron, יעקב לבית in Hebron, and he sends him over there to see how the brothers are doing. And so an angel found him, and Yosef is to Eba Sadeh, Yosef got lost in the field, where Shereshu Mimor Matvakesh, the person asked him, what you looking for? By Yomer Tachai Nechem Vakesh, and Yomer Tachai Nechem Vakesh, I'm looking for my brothers. Yomer Ayush Asim Yizik Shumati Amun Echad Atay Now. The man said, you know, I saw them, they're going to Dotan, simple explanation. Elich Asim Achavim to Dotan, he goes over there, he finds them. The brothers see him from far. So they see him from far, they decide they're going to kill him. I says, the only respect is our great parents. I says, there is a limit for everything. There's a limit. If you don't like the person, he's your brother. He didn't do any bad thing to you. Even according to some Chachamim, that Yosef said Lashon Hara. So, with all the respect, So far Yaakov is alive. He's your father. You cannot just decide now that you want to kill him. You can't do it. It's your brother. It's impossible. It's impossible Jewish people are going to kill the brother just because they don't like him. They don't like him. They're going to kill him. For what are you going to kill him? So the Torah, אמרוי של אחים של דגמרי, זה שימון אל לוי, הנה בא לחלומות על הסבאי, זה דרימה קומית. אתה לכו ונעתי, הוא לב תחילים. יש לכם אחד המורות, not only going to kill him, they're going to throw him into one of the pits in the desert. אמרנו לך, חלטו נראה לך, he says, we're coming back to Yaakov, we tell Yaakov, you know, an animal ate him, finished. Not even a grave for him, not even a monument. How cruel could you be? How cruel could you be? Sounds like Hitler. How cool could you be? What did he do to you? Nothing, nothing. That's the brothers of Yosef. Of course, the Gemara will tell you that they're wrong totally. But still, you have to know what they had in mind. What's behind this thing? It's impossible, you know, just an innocent, good boy that learns with his father, and his father teaches him the whole Torah, and says he's a very nice boy, everything is good, and then said they want to kill him. And they're going to kill him, going to throw him in a pit, they're going to tell Yaakov an animal ate him up. He goes to the Gemara and says that what they did is not only that they said it, first they had dogs that helped them to watch the sheep, so they told the dogs, go bite him. And then the dog did not go bite him, and then they threw him into the pit. So the first Shimon tried with a bow and arrow to kill him, and he missed. And then swim into the pit. And then Shimon called on the brothers and says, stone him, throw stones on him. Says the Gemara, wait 1 second. But you should know the pit that threw him inside had snakes and scorpion. I says, how far can you go? You take your brother, first you want to kill him, then you shoot an arrow on him. Then you send the dogs to bite him and kill him. And then you throw stones on him. And then you throw him into a pit. The downstairs in the pit, there are snakes and scorpions. I said, how far can you go? What do you want from this guy? What do you want from me? What do you have in mind? And besides, you know, with all the respect, you know, the Torah will tell you that they did it at the end, and then they come to Yaakov Avinu, and they take the garment, they took off the garment, and they dipped it in the blood of the goat, and you see that Yaakov is on the floor. 22 years, Yaakov Avinu is on the floor wearing sack. How could you see your father for 22 years on the floor crying? 22 years, your father is mourning about yourself. They said nothing. They all come home with straight faces. How could you? I don't know if a goy can do such a thing. You see, the older father, you know, Yaakov is 120 years old. He's going to come down to Egypt. He's going to be 130. 130 until age, 130 is on the floor. And so I will tell you that the brothers and the son-in-law, the daughter-in-law, they come to Yaakov and says, okay, that's, he says, no, Yosef is dead, I'm going to Gehenna. Your father's going to Gehenna. You told him that he's dead, you showed him the garment. Forget about it. Somebody should get up and confess this, and the whole thing is a joke. You told him he's in Egypt, you call the FBI, you call the KGB, they'll find him in Egypt, they'll bring him back to Israel. So finish. You go to Egypt, you find him in Egypt. But you don't let your father on the floor for 22 years. It's hard to understand. They got big punishments later. So the ten giants that killed in the second Beit HaMikdash. So Ari says there was the same neshamot of the 10 tribes. Exactly, the 10 neshamot. And they're going to get big punishment. And until today, they continue all these things that they started. Because it's hatred for nothing. Of course, enough for nothing. But still, we're not talking about people that have no idea what they're doing. We're talking about smart people. This is, how cruel could you be to try to kill your father and then to see your father on the floor, say nothing. Mr. Rafi, the deacon? Zama. Oh, I don't know if I'm going to call me head door.
Amen.
Happened to be in Shabbat Hanukkah. Hanukkah is the last holiday that we have. It's very hard, and some rabbis say it's impossible to make a new holiday. It's impossible. So called it should be an established holiday, Chag, until Mashiach will come, that all the Chachamim will agree, and to make a symbol of it, and to say bracha on it, it needs to have a big authority. We have to remember what the Gemara says, the last big authority that we had, this is in time of Second Beit HaMikdash, it's called Anshei Knesset HaGdola, they made the text of the Siddur that we have, they made almost all the brachot that we have. It says, now come the Hashmonaim. They are 213 years after so-called the Bedin HaGadol, it's called Sheikh Nesak Dolah, and they invented a new holiday, it's called Hanukkah. So you can invent a holiday, in a certain conditions maybe, but with the laws that they made about Hanukkah, this is almost impossible that Bedin will have such a power. So what did they do? So let's remember the first halacha that appears in Shulchan Aruch and the Rambam is that everybody must light Hanukkah candle, and there is no excuse you don't have money. But that excuse really helps in most of the mitzvot that we have. That if you don't have money, a Kadosh Baruch Hu does not expect you. Oh yeah, see? You know there's halacha, if you only drink the tea with sugar and somebody gave you tea and you ask him the sugar and said, this is for sure. When you say the bracha, you drink a little bit, it's no sugar. When you put sugar inside, you have to say another bracha. Because the first bracha was in vain. Because he really didn't want to drink it. He told you there's sugar, but you can't have it, you don't like it. You never drink it without sugar. So the first bracha was nothing. So if you drink only decaf, and then the balabos said it's decaf, and then he said it's not decaf, then I have to say another bracha. So I said two today, tonight. So came Chachamim and they say that you must light Hanukkah candle. There's no excuse for no money. But again, the halacha is, let's say you have no money, so you don't have to go and borrow money and buy tefillin or buy mezuzah or buy tzitzit, or buy sukkah, or buy lulav, or even buy matzah. Nothing. Hashem gave you mitzvot if you can afford it. If you cannot afford it, Hashem does not expect it. Hanukkah is one of very few other mitzvot. The halacha is you must light Hanukkah candles. If you don't have money, go collect, go become a mishulach. If they don't give it to you, go rent yourself out and get the lowest of the lowest jobs. If they don't want to hire you, go give you clothing, your jacket as a collateral. In a pawn shop, they'll give you some money, go buy yourself a candle. So Bedin should come and emphasize it. And they will tell you, listen, it's a holiday that everyone must participate. It's very, very strange and almost never. By the way, Chachamim tell you, you know, this halacha that originally was originated, it was to light the menorah outside. Outside. It's not, you can't light it inside the house. You have to light it outside. Outside the door on the left side. This was the original halacha of the law. And then comes the Gemara and says the Goyim came and bothered us and they did not want us to light outside. And then halacha was, he said, okay, now you have to put it inside. In our generation, if you live today in a place that it's secure, that nobody will pick up the menorah and run away with it, or they won't be anti-Semitism, then you have to light outside. You have to light outside. Because the original was outside. This is what outside. Nobody will tell you, it's called Pursuit Minister, it's called the advertise the miracle. Of course the miracle means the menorah, but I mean, we get to it in a minute. But to advertise, you don't have to advertise outside. For example, the Gemara says, Megillat Esther, that we read on Purim is called advertising the miracle. That is what Chachamim told us. Read the Megillah on Purim. So why are we reading it? To advertise that Hashem saved us from Haman. But you don't have to do it on the street. You do it in the house. In the Beit Knesset. Come there, tell Chachamim and say, you should know, the four cups that you drink on Pesach is to advertise the miracle of HaKadosh Baruch Hu Fikat al Hashem. But you advertise it at home, not outside. But here's a special Allah. You must have the money to have oil or candle for Hanukkah, and you must do it outside, originally. The third halacha is, the Gemara says, and they originally this halacha that you have to light the candle for 8 days, since we all do know the oil is the vessel of oil is found in the Metamidash less than for 8 nights instead of one. You know, the original halacha with this Medina Kashmir decided is that everyone should light one candle per night. It means the first night you light one, the second one not one, the third one one, only one. Then comes the Gemara and says, you know, they said at the same time, if you want so-called to be extra, to do something extra, what you should do is you should light every night as many candles as the people in the house. It means that if you have a family of 30 children, you should light the first night 30, the second night 30, the fourth night 30, not to add, that every night is the same. Either one per house, or the second stage is one per member from the family. Comes the Gemara and says, well, there is a third stage. It's a machloket between the Rabbam and Tosfot, what it means. It's a machloket between Ashkenazim and Sfaradim. The Sfaradim do like the Ashkenazim, but the Ashkenazim do like the Sfaradim. It's a special halach. It's called Me'adrim in Amadrim. It says you have to be the top of the top. It says what do you do? It says you do the first night one, the second night two, the third one three, the fourth one four, etc. until eight. But so called there are three stages. Again, the minimum originally was one per house. And of course that's a halacha. If somebody is very poor and he has to go and collect money, he doesn't have to collect just to have enough. One candle per night. You don't need more. Anyway, you look at Shulchan Aruch, the Mechaber Shulchan Aruch, Rabbi Yisrael Karo wrote Shulchan Aruch in Tzfat 400 years ago. He said when he wrote it, he had a little angel speaking from his throat and told him what to write. He says before he decided to write Shulchan Aruch, he had actually to call a Maggid, so he wrote a book about it. He says, when I decided to write a book of laws for Am Yisrael, it was not my decision. He says, I had to have approval of HaKadosh Baruch Hu He says he had it like an angel, like speaking from inside his throat. He says, okay, that's okay, write like this. When he wrote this halakha about Hanukkah, in Shulchan Aruch, you will not find the first two stages. Look at Shulchan Aruch, it says that's what I used to do. The first night one, the second night two, the third night three, until eight. The eighth night, eight chambers. It says, how come you omitted so-called the first decision of the Hashmonaim said one candle per house. You can't find it Shulchan Aruch. The second stage was one candle per family, per member of the family. You can't find Shulchan Aruch. And so what you find in Shulchan Aruch is called Mehadrim and Amadrim. It's called super fanatic. It says Hanukkah is to do the best. What's the best of the best? Why? Why did Shulchan Aruch did not try that you may do so-called in the lowest level one candle per house? You can't find Shulchan Aruch, even though the Gemara says this was the original halakha that was established by the Hashmonaim.
Why is it in reverse order? So like eight candles the first night go down for one.
There's halakha, when Moshiach will come, this is what we're going to do. This Beit Shammai is there. The Gemara is always up there. One of the reasons the Gemara says, Ma'alim b'Kodesh lo moridim. He's always trying to go up and not to go down. The Gemara Masechet Shabbat, page 21, has an opinion that that's what you have to do. It's the Shammai. The Gemara registers, and when Mashiach will come, that's what we're going to do. I don't know if you ever thought about this. I says, you know, now it's dark outside. So we take it for granted that darkness means black. Black. Says, what is the color outside? Black. Black. Black, people like to think that black is the opposite of white. But this is not right.
Not true.
Red can be also the opposite of white. Excuse me. Navy can be also the opposite of white. White itself is the color of light. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he made on creation the first day light. So what was the color? White. It says, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the color white as the light? HaKadosh Baruch Hu could have made fluorescent, yellow. Nothing's wrong with it. It's yellow. Perfect. It's even nicer. They say it's even better for your eyes. I says, you don't like yellow? I said, because it made it fluorescent, like a green, like a light pink. You go to the Benjamin Moore will show you how many colors can be. So outside, light is white, dark is black. What's the reason? Now on creation, the second sentence in the Torah is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created sky and earth. In the second sentence, the Torah says that the so-called earth was deserted and was dark. It means so-called HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he decided to create universe, was dark. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not a machine. If he wanted, right away, before he created universe, he would have made light. Turn on the light. You don't have to have darkness, and then to have light. Nevertheless, Torah says, you know, first HaKadosh Baruch Hu made darkness, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, should be light. And then, it's amazing, again we have darkness. For what? Was dark, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu lit universe. Okay, let the light stay. What do you need every day, all of a sudden, sunset, dark and dark? For what do you have to have it? Well, of course, in America, we need it because cannabis has to make money. But then, assuming there's no cannabis. I says, what? HaKadosh Baruch Hu had darkness again. There was darkness. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Yehi Yor should be light. So now it's light. And now all of a sudden, by Yehi, by Bukla, Yom Echad, this is again darkness. Every day, by Yom Yom Shini, this is every day, again, dark. For what darkness? I cry looking, oh, Yom Lachoshach Karalayla. I said, this is light, light. He says, what? What do you mean this? Come Chachamim and tell us the following. He says, no, the secret of creation. That's how it started. On the first day, And the Torah describes the situation of this world as darkness. The Choshech Avnei Tehom, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went and called out and ensured that he is responsible for darkness. And he tells them, listen, Mr., I would like to light the universe. I'm going to light the universe, delete the universe. And this angel said, listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if that's what you're going to do, it means I'm out of a job. Because this is my job. So people say, listen, I'm not asking you, I'm telling you. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu lit the universe. After lit the universe, came to him that angel that's responsible for the darkness. And asked HaKadosh Baruch Hu, excuse me, I want to ask you something. He says, can you explain to me what are you doing exactly? He says, what are you making light and why the light is white? Hashem answered, I tell you what. The light is white because I'm making the light for my children. They're going to be Am Yisrael, and they are being compared to a sheep. And usually a sheep is white. Just let's ask, so what about me? I said, I tell you, you miss the darkness because usually a bull, an ox, is black. So Chachamim says, said the Gemara, you know, darkness outside is black because the angel is responsible for darkness. He is so-called black because bull is black. And the reason why HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the daytime that it looks white, not yellow, and not fluorescent green is because Am Yisrael is being compared to a sheep, and a sheep usually is white. Come, this angel asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, okay, now I understand you. I understand you. He says, can you tell me what is the plan that you're going to do right now? So I was saying, you know what I'm going to do now? I'm going to do an horoscope. I'm going to apply kind of stars that people should see what's going on. He says, what are you doing? He says, the first one I'm going to do, the one looks like twins. I said, then he goes to the horoscope, one after the one. He says, the one next to the left is pale, is a pail, and the last one is fish. He tells him, what is this for? He tells him, I think what you know, fish at the end, this is before Mashiach comes, and that's going to be under the water, and they have no ayin hara, no magic, the fish is protected, and this is the horoscope that I make in the sky, and that's the end of the world at the end, and then there's going to be a light. I said, this is what he's showing up. He said, the Mashiach. It's just on the surface. If you have a book, it's called Midrash Rabbati. He brings all this, what we just spoke about. And this is just, you know, I don't understand really what people think when you read it, but comes Darin and says, I want to explain to you something. So the Gemara says that the Greeks, when they came to us, Israel, actually, took 180 years that the Hashmonaim came and fought them. It was not a month or a year that the Hashmonaim had to fight them. It's the second Beit HaMikdash was built. So the first so-called 33 years, Beit HaMikdash was ruled by the government of Iran, Harat, and then came Alexander Mugdon and destroyed the regime of the Iranians, took control, came to Yerushalayim, and controlled Beit HaMikdash, and since then, things started to go down, until that almost all of Israel followed the Greeks. Of course, they made Gezerot, we cannot do Brit Milah, we cannot keep Shabbat, we cannot go to Mikveh, we cannot be Bikurim, it's a whole list of things they told us not to do. Among the things they said, we would like everyone who ever has a bull to go and write and engrave on the horn of the bull that we have nothing to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So tell you, what is the idea behind it? You want to write on the bull? So the Maharal says, you should know, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu writes in the Torah, there was darkness over so-called the deepest place, it's called hell. It says darkness refers to the Greeks. And of course, as we just said, the Kadosh Baruch Hu told this angel that was responsible for the darkness, that the color of the world was black. That's because he ruled this world before Kadosh Baruch Hu made light. That darkness, that black thing, is the angel that's responsible for the Greek, for that nation. And therefore, they came and they told him, Israel, whoever has a bull, and the bull, the color of the bull is the black, it is right on the horn of the bull, that he has nothing to do with God. He has nothing to do with the Kadosh Baruch Hu. It's over. Finished. It says the purpose of creation is to, we should have light. And the light is white. It says the purpose of this angel is to have darkness black. It means no Torah, no nothing. Says that, you know, what people think, that Tariq says a very powerful statement. Says we three times a day, Shmonesra, we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we ask for certain things, and some people say, you know, I pray three times a day and nothing happened, nothing happened. Says Baruch Atah Hashem Shomer Tefillah. So this is so-called the last of the middle brachot that we have, who listens to all the prayers. Nevertheless, we don't know if Hashem is going to give us the things that we said Hashem listens to us. Let me say like this, let's say Hashem Elokeinu, please, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, we hope that we find favor in your eyes, and you accept us. Bam Chai Yisrael, Lishulatam She, please, listen to the prayer. V'asheva Avoda, Ligzir Betecha, bring back the Tefillah to a place, it's called the Zir Betecha. By the way, in Aram Yisim, if you want to start Friday night, also it says, V'achakach ba'u banecha l'dvir betecha. Doesn't say the Hashmoneim came to the house of Hashem. We don't say after, we say Baruch Atah Hashem Shomer Tefillah, we don't say V'ashev ha'avodah l'betecha. We say V'ashev ha'avodah l'dvir betecha. What is the dvir? There you find in Sefer Melachim, this is Shlomo HaMelech, this is chapter 6, that Shlomo HaMelech builds the Hechal and the Dvir, the two entities. But HaMikdash, the holiest of the holiest is called the Dvir. It's called Kodesh HaKodashim in the Tanakh, being described. When Shlomo built Bet HaMikdash, the Tanakh says he built Bet HaMikdash, but you should know he built as well the Dvir. Dvir is so-called a synonym name to Bet HaMikdash, to Kodesh HaKodashim, to the holiest of the holiest. So in Holiest of the Holiest is only once a year that the Kohen HaGadol used to go inside and do inside the spices of the Torah, as well sprinkle from the blood of a goat and a bull. This was done on Yom Kippur, once a year. We, three times a day, this is really the common hour, and that's the secret for the Tefillah to be accepted by Kadosh Baruch Hu. They say, Baruch Atah Hashem Shemeter Hashem, Baruch Hashem, you heard me. Tzari said, yeah. Hashem says, I heard you, you know, means nothing. I heard you. No, he spoke to somebody, he said, you hear me? I heard you. So are you going to do it? I never told you that. So we say, Repeh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, we ask you. We would like to find favor in your eyes, and you should do it. He says, you know what, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what I'm asking you? Hashem HaAvodah L'Zim Betecha, please bring back the Avodah, so-called, I would like to work for you, but you know what I want? I want you to bring back that job to the holiest of the holiest, means in Yom Kippur. That's the Kavanah we should have every day. It's when you say that, what it means is that you want from HaKadosh Baruch Hu forgiveness for all of Israel, that was done on Yom Kippur, as well the Kohen HaGadol is to slaughter the bull. And he used to take the blood from the bull and sprinkle it inside, over there in the Holiest of the Holiest, it's called the Dvir. So Dari, you should know, the Hashmonaim, when they enter Bet HaMikdash, chase the Greeks. Where did he go first? He says, look at what it says, Aram Yisim. Afterwards, after the war is over, Ba'u Banecha L'Dvir Betecha. The first place, the one is in the Holiest of the Holiest. They went inside the Holiest of the Holiest. The reason the rain is high is to tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please accept our prayer. Please accept what we want all our life is V'Hashem Avodah L'Vir B'techa. Please HaKadosh Baruch Hu bring back so-called to worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the holiest of the holiest, it means on Yom Kippur. That should be the aim when you pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu daily, three times a day. It's called V'Hashem Avodah L'Vir B'techa. Please bring back to the holiest place. Now instead you should know this is really the power of Hanukkah. This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us this idea. It says, you know, Hashem made the miracle with the menorah. It says, why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu do such a thing that oil should have lasted for one day, lasted for 8 days? It says, I tell you why. Because the purpose of the menorah is so-called to light the darkness. It says, that's what happened in creation. First HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed us something. When he created this world, he first created darkness. And then he lit the darkness. But then, he also made every day should be dark. Darkness. He says, to tell you this is what your life is all about. It is your life, what you go through life, is this is the job that you have to go through life. You cannot decide that you want to retire. Your job is to light the darkness. It says, the Greeks wanted the whole world to be in darkness, to be like a wool, black. It says, a sheep is white. A Kadosh Baruch Hu made the light white and lit the world from darkness on the first of creation to tell you what your job is all about. Your job is to light the universe. It says, the people that are Anashim Asher B'Choshech, says the Navi, you know, that people that walk all the life in darkness. It says, they don't understand what light is all about. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is energy of light. It says, Olam Haba is light. It says, Mashiach is light. It says, the Gemara, that if you light Hanukkah candle and you have the right idea in your head, that thing that you light is going to light, the light of Mashiach, is going to light the original light that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the first day. Because actually it's the same. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu lit the world to tell you what is the job of this world is. So the Gemara, listen, if you have 30 days with no difficulty, says, I had the best month of my life. Everything went right. Says the Gemara, you better worry about your life. You might be called to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu upstairs. Says the Gemara, you know, every day that you have over here, you have to know that you have to run your life through the darkness. You're going through a tunnel, and you have to have a flashlight in your hand. As if you don't want to go to the tunnel, it means you understand you don't accomplish what HaKadosh Baruch Hu expects from you. But Yeshev Yaakov, says Ari, you should know, that's what the Gemara says. Because Yaakov, Yeshev B'Shav, he wants to have early retirement. As the Hashem says, you don't understand. Early retirement means that you don't want to fill the job. Your job is to light the darkness. You cannot sit at home. It is a telling, says I tell you. Says, last week, Parasha, we saw that one chapter was designated for Esav and his children. See, really, I don't have to know all this. But you should know the Gemara says that Esav is going to join Greece. It's called Italia Sharia Bon. So Rome came after Greece. Rome is inside part of Greece, part of that engine. Your job is to light them, not to run away and stay away. It says Esav was described in the Torah as bad person, his descendants, all of them, says the Gemara Mamzerim. It says Vayeshev Yaakov. It says, Yaakov, I want to explain to you what you got to do. You have to go and light everybody. As if Yosef is going to have to go down to Egypt to light Egypt. And like the parasha, the Gemara said that Yosef, when people came to purchase flour, grain, Yosef said, you cannot purchase unless you do Brit Milah. Brit Milah, the job of Brit Milah, it means light the dark. Without Brit Milah, it's dark. That's what the Greeks said, you cannot have Brit Milah. You cannot have Brit Milah. You cannot have Rosh Chodesh, because Rosh Chodesh means via the moon, that the moon lit the world. It says, the purpose is to light the darkness. So there's an angel that's responsible for darkness, that's the angel of Greece. I said, he's being compared to a bull, and the bull is black. And this is HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, he said, listen, stay away, I want to light the world. I will let you to come back every night and have darkness. This is the same, Baruch Hinam Shi. Zakhtarim shagim matarav. You should know life is difficult. Don't expect your life to be paradise, because your life is to light the darkness. The Gemara says, this is your job. You can't just say, okay, Yosef, Eishel, Yaakov, he says, no, I'm doing nothing. I'm telling you, said, you should know, this is Chachamim came in Chon Ha, and said, you know what, you have to light the menorah originally outside. Outside, not in your house. Because you have to light the darkness. You cannot use it. You cannot use the menorah for anything else. This is the purpose, just to light outside. This is not because you want to read something. You cannot read next to the menorah. You cannot count money next to the menorah, the Gemara says. It's the menorah as fuel to light outside. Because this was the Kadosh Baruch Hu made the miracle of Chanukah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu made you the menorah. The Kadosh Baruch Hu made in different things in Beit HaMikdash. Constantly used to be in Beit HaMikdash miracles. But here HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show us what it means in the Maccabim, the Hashmonaim, chased the Greeks out of Eretz Israel. What it means actually is that we would like to get back on that path for Judaism, that our job is to educate the world. Our job is to light the world. It says, this is what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, and then Hashmonaim came and said, you know what, we're going to have a holiday. It says, every house must have a temple. Because this is the job. This is why? Because when you light the darkness, this is the job that Hashem expected from you. And this is what Chachamim said, that the Hashmonaim made this holiday, and they said everyone must light it. And they said you should know how to do it outside. And it says, and they came to Shulchan Aruch and said, you know what? It's true there are three stages, maybe one candle is enough per house. But let me tell you something. This is really your obligation and the goal of your life. You have to show to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that you really mean it. I said, how far can I go? I tell you how far then. He said, you know the Hashmonaim that came, they told us, Bari, that Chanukah is not Yom Kippur. He said, Bari, you know Gemara Chatimah, that we had Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah Rabbah. He said, Bari, HaKadosh Baruch Hu waits until Chanukah to finalize his decision. Whoever did not do that yet, in the first 3 months, Ari said, Zot Chanukah, at the end of Chanukah, you see, might have a big change. But you have to have in your head that constantly what you want is Vasheva Avodah L'Gzil Betecha. It is what I want is to bring back the job to the Zil. Zil means Kodesh HaKodeshim, the holiest of the holiest. And says, this is what the whole secret of Chanukah is. You don't like the menorah, Ari says, to remember that once upon a time, the Maccabim conquered back Beit HaMikdash and the palm vessel and the oil left for it is. For this I have for the rest of the generation to write menorah. It's no big deal. The Chachamim said in the Beit HaMikdash once the menorah was on for 1 year, once either the menorah or the western candle was for 40 years on, it says over here it's different. It says we chased the darkness out. We lit the light that originally Rabbi Moshe lit on the first day of creation, the Maccabim were able to light it again on Hanukkah, and that's the holiday. And so he said, you should know, this means that Yaakov loves Yosef very much. I said, you know why he likes him very much? So the Gemara says, because his complexion, his glory of Yosef is like Yaakov. But when he looked at Yosef, it's not the shape of the face, that he had some kind of light in his face. He says the Gemara, you know, that's the pasuk we read last week in the Haftarah, Bet Yosef Lehava. It says he's like a flame. That Yosef from his face came like a flame. It says, so I see this baby when he was born, he had this flame. That's what when Yosef was born, Yaakov said, I'm leaving. He is going to take care of this world. It's called Mashiach Ben Yosef. I says, to him I'm going to teach all the Torah. Because that's the job of the Mashiach, and he is so-called capable to understand. The rest of the brothers don't look like him. They don't have this flame in their face. They don't have this light in their face. You're supposed to have light in your face. So therefore he buys him, he makes him a little garment, and the brothers see these things and listen. I want to explain to you something. As says, Moshe Rabbeinu, when he gives the blessing to Yosef, he compares Yosef to a bull. You know, on the cushion of the Kohen HaGadol, when he had the 12 stones, and every stone was per tribe, and he had also 2 stones on his shoulders, that the names of the Shvatim were engraved on the stones, the color of the stone was black. This is the color of Yosef's stone. It's called Shoham. Shoham is a black precious stone. It says Yosef was chosen for the black stone. It's others, yellow, green, red, white. It is yourself is pure black. It's called Shwam. On the chest of the Pentagon of the Tumim, as well as his shoulders. I says, you know why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu, in Parashat Tzibachah, says, you know, Bechor Shoro Hadalo. He says, Yosef is a bull. The color of a bull is black. He says, you see, the son of Yosef is black. Says the Gemara, you should know, Yosef's grandchild is Yerovam ben Nevat. He made two calves, two bulls, not one, and prevented all of Israel from going to Yerushalayim. Says the Gemara, don't underestimate the tribe of the brothers. When they look at Yosef, they told Yosef, your grandson is going to make two bulls, not one. Two golden calves. It says he's going to put soldiers on the highways to prevent people from going to Beit HaMikdash. You know why? Because you, Mr. Bull, because you, Yosef, a bull. It's true. Yosef is a bull. But Yosef changed himself from bull to fish. It says, Yaakov, you know, when he blessed Yosef before he died and his children, it says, you know, you're like a fish. A fish. And this was the last horoscope what the Kaddish Baruch Hu told his angel. It says, a fish has no eye and eye, has no magic. It says, this was the Gemara, it says, Yosef has no eye and eye, has no magic. Doesn't have any bad eye. It says, because you're a fish. Why? Because my job is to light the world. This is he's going to see next week. He comes to Egypt. He's going to change Egypt completely. Nothing is going to tell everybody to do with me now. He's going to go and buy the whole country and make the whole country slaves to power. And he's going to rule everything. And he's the longest ever Jew that was a king any place in the world. Was Yosef for 8 years? He was a king. Was supposed to be 90. But he did something wrong, we'll get to it in the exaltation one day, and we'll see when he lost 10 years of his life. Supposed to be at least 90 years old, the king. Because his job is to light the world. And therefore, he goes to his father, and he says, his father, listen, he says, my brothers don't behave right. They eat pieces from the animal before the animal is dead. They go shopping, they look at the girls. They also call names to other brothers. He says, what's your business? He says, that's my business. My business is to light the world. And when the brother, he comes to the brother and says, this you don't understand. I'm a designated person. He says, this, why are you telling that to them? They don't even say hello to you. He says, true. It's true they don't say hello to me. This is my job to talk to them. He says, if somebody ignores you, you're supposed to go talk to him. Because you're supposed to like it. He says, let me tell you something. I had another dream. He says, the second dream is about the sun and the moon and the stars. He says, it's a dream about Christ. He says, let me tell you something. He said to Yaakov, he said, listen, you're right, you know. I expect also to bow down to you. You are the designated. It says, Bet Yosef Lahava. Bet Yaakov is Esh. It says, Yaakov is going compared to fire. Fire is nothing. You need a flame. Yosef is the flame. It says, that thing, the Hashmonaim so-called, relit on Hanukkah, the flame. It says, this is the whole idea of Hanukkah. It's not that Hanukkah is just to remember. It says, that's what Yosef was supposed to be. The Hashmonaim became. It says, they did the job. They did the job, and then we say in Aram Yisim, the Shayim Biyatadikim, Mim Biyatayorim, the Dim Biyatayorim. It says, those people, they had those so-called qualities. Those qualities made them, that's what they wanted. They didn't want just to chase the Greeks out. They wanted to lead back. The menorah in Beit HaMikdash, the menorah so-called light, the whole world, lit the whole world. He says, that's the whole idea of Hanukkah. So as you said, this is exactly like Yom Kippur. So Hanukkah is not Hanukkah, it's as big as Yom Kippur that you have, and you light the menorah, you have to have this in mind. This is the same thing that you have to have 3 times a day. In the Tefillah, it says, after Shomer Tefillah, you say, listen, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ba'asher Avodah Ledvir Betecha. Please bring the walk. It says, where? Ledvir. It's not to Beit HaMikdash, it's to Kodesh HaKodeshim. This is on Yom Kippur. That we pray constantly, Hashem should so-called slaughter that black bull. It says, that black, the darkness, Hashem should destroy the darkness. And this is exactly what happened the first day of creation. So Hanukkah is so-called bringing back the world to the day of creation before the sin of Adam and Hashem, accomplishing the job. It's the Kaddish Baruch Hu says, it's Yaakov, says the Isha Yaakov. Yaakov says, you know what, I'm going to retire. So when are you going to retire? So didn't you see what happened last week? He says, no, I only put one chapter. Really, I should have put more than one chapter about Esav and his due sentence. Because they make the darkness in the world, and you should know how much darkness you have. He says, but you know, because I love Yaakov and I hate Esav, so I only designated one chapter for him. I really should have had a lot of chapters and tell you all the descendants of Esav with all the mom's dream, all the bad things that they can do, because what they do is they make darkness in the world, and I mean, this is your job. I just did not do it because I don't like him so much. But you, Yaakov, I'm going to tell you, you know, the next four parashiyot, I'm going to think about Yaakov. It is because Yaakov, that's your job. And he ends up in Egypt, and this is called the darkest place. The darkest place on the universe at this time, but Yosef is going to take control to light it, to make it better. And this is the Gemara says, as long as Yosef was alive, was no slavery, was nothing. Because that was the job, to light so-called the darkness. And he did it. It says the Maccabim really did. And that's what the Gemara says, that this is really the power of Chachamim, that they established the holiday, and this is the last holiday. It's the last holiday because they did the job. If they would not have the fight between the Chashmonaim, the Chashmonaim would become Mashiach, and the world would go back to the original first day of creation. And Chanukah, that's how he says it. So the Gemara said it's time of Mashiach, it's time of light of Mashiach, time of the first light, because it's comparable to Yom Kippur. This is, we light the darkness outside, the light, because we are the sheep, and the Kaddish Baruch Hu loves us. Let me do it, Mashiach Mishamara Milam.